from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." Everybody say, "Who was crucified." It's important you get that. I want you to underline that, highlight. Matthew makes it a point to say Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Everybody say that with me. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped at his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, and go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word today. God, I thank you for the many across this nation, around this globe, Lord, that's preaching this message this morning. I thank you, Father, for the greater church. Lord, we're living in a day and an hour, God, that the world needs your hope. They need your spirit, God. They need your touch, Lord God. And I pray that you'd bless every church today, God, with your presence. Would y'all just pray with me right now? God, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, just flow in every place of worship this morning, whether it be a home, a church, a cathedral, wherever it's at. God, we pray that you would do a move, Lord, in this day and this hour. We prayed, God, for a third wave revival, Lord, to hit our land. And God, pour your spirit out on your people, we pray, before you return. Lord, one more time, do it, we pray. Lord, let it begin right now with me in this house, God. Let it begin with us. God, I thank you that this word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We'll hide it in our hearts. Lord, that we won't sin against you, but we'll run hard after you. And we pray, God, I pray that this word, Lord, as it's spoken through lips of clay, that you'd use this vessel. And Lord, minister to every heart and every life only the way that you can this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said amen and amen. Give somebody a fist bump or a high five before you're seated. It is Resurrection Day, and I have good news for you. Our God is not dead. He is alive. And we look at this story, this narrative in Matthew. He gives us this glimpse, and I love that he lays it out, and he says, this Jesus that you're looking for, the one that was crucified, is no longer here. I like the way that Luke also, he verbalizes this. He says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead when this is a tomb? Matthew, he says, I know you're looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified, but that Jesus, the one that was crucified, the crucified Jesus, is no longer here. The Jesus that you should be looking for is the Jesus that is risen. He is alive today. He's not the Jesus that you're looking for. The work is finished. The crucified Jesus, that's already been done. That's old news. That's gone. That was yesterday. Now is a new day. God's doing a new thing, and there is life, and that's the Jesus that you need to be looking for. I love the way he said that. He said, that Jesus is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen. And listen, let me remind you, we are Pentecostal, so if you want to get happy and say hallelujah, please go ahead and say that. Is that all right? Is that all right, Wilma? I'll just say, if you want to say hallelujah, we can say hallelujah, right? We can say praise the Lord. We can say thank you, Jesus, in this place today. This Jesus, this is the Jesus that always was. This is the Jesus that conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's been the same. He will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're looking for a dead Jesus. Listen, they came with oil. They came with liniments. They were gonna anoint the body, treat the body. They came expecting a dead Jesus. But this same Jesus they're looking for is a Jesus that has risen from the grave. He's risen from the dead, and he is alive. You see, even those closest to him, his own disciples, didn't get the full picture, the full scope of really what was going on. I love how we look at story and we look at the narrative and we look at the ingredients of this narrative. And we've got this angel in this story. There was an angel that was at the tomb. And I love the angel. It's kind of like when we talked about Gideon. When the angel appeared, the angel sat by under a tree. And here we see an angel sitting by the tomb. He's sitting there in the angel of the Lord. See, when angels of the Lord speak in Scripture, it's important that we listen to what is being said. Throughout the Bible, we find angels involved in communicating God's truth or the message of the Spirit of God as it directed them. And so this, of course, is very much in keeping with the basic meaning of the word angel. If you look at the Hebrew word and the Greek word for the meaning of angel, it means messenger. Everybody say messenger. And so the angel is God's messenger, and the angel is delivering a message from God, the Creator. And he's saying that Jesus that you're looking for, the one that was crucified, the message from God to Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, which is Cleopas' wife, we believe, which is actually Jesus' Aunt Mary. And so this Mary, both Marys, the angel declared to them and brought the message from God the Father. And the message was this to them. And the message is this to us today, that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. That's the message that God the Father wanted to give to us, that Jesus is alive. I've got some really good news for you today, and I'm glad you're here. I've got some life-changing news. We want you to know some very exciting news here this morning at Rock Hill First, and that is this. Because he lives, that means that you and I can also have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. Hallelujah! He's alive, so I also can live. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We are made alive in and through Christ. However, there are seasons, and I realize there are seasons in our lives where challenges in the cares of life can overwhelm us. And being alive in him is something that might be a challenge to some of us this morning. I realize that in a room this size, that there might be some things going on in your life that are just overwhelming and hard to go through and disappointing, and you wonder where God's at. As a matter of fact, some of you may have come in here almost given all hope up, and even if God's even on your radar, or if you feel like he's on your radar or on his radar, and my prayer for you today is this, that if there's any area in your life where you feel that you lack in or an emptiness or a wondering, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will reveal the life of Jesus to you, and that he would get down into your soul, and that you would find that resurrection life in Jesus Christ. That God will speak to you and in you that he is alive and he can be alive in your situation. You see, this room this morning is filled with people that just like you and me, we're looking for hope. We're all looking for hope, amen? And many in this room have found hope through the life of Jesus, and that's exactly what the message the angel was bringing, the message of good news, the message that Jesus is alive. It was a message of hope. It was a message of life. It was a message that would set those free who accepted this message. But I want you to see in this biblical narrative this morning that Mary Magdalene and Mary were looking for the wrong Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, they're looking for the wrong Jesus. They were looking for the wrong Jesus. When you look at the story here, look with me at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." God wants us to see a risen Jesus this morning. God wants us to see a Jesus that is alive. I know who you're looking for. I know you're looking for that Jesus, but you're not going to find that Jesus. You're going to find a Jesus that is alive. Why are you looking for him among the dead? Jesus is life. Jesus is abundance. Jesus is living. He's the living word. And in Christ there is life, and life more abundantly. Do you believe that this morning? I believe it with all my heart. Always an abundance around Jesus. There's always an abundance. There was always food around Jesus. There was always more than enough around Jesus. And so when there are areas in our lives that feel undone, that feel lack, that feel waning, the angel said, don't look for the living among the dead. The focus here is not on the messenger, but on the message. Not on the messenger, but on the message. And the message is that he is alive. Think about it for a minute. Mary Magdalene and Mary, what were they coming to see? They were coming to see a lifeless Jesus. What were they looking to do? They were looking to mourn. They were bringing to pay respects. They were bringing ointment to treat the body, to remember, have a moment of just remembering the life of Jesus. Who were they looking for? They didn't expect to find anyone living there other than each other. But they were surprised this morning. Have you ever been surprised by Jesus in your life before? Amen. He has a way of surprising us with his love and for his goodness to us. They were bringing spices and lotions to treat the body of Jesus. They were anticipating a dead Jesus, even though they had believed, even though they had faith, even though they walked with Jesus and heard him declare that he would rise again. They were coming still to treat the body of Jesus, even though they had heard all these things. That's my question for me and for you this morning, is that when you pray, when you hope, When you believe, are you trusting in a God who is able, or are you trusting in a God who is passive or in not available? Which God are you believing in? I believe many times we say, Lord, help my disbelief, help my unbelief, help my lack of trust. I want us this morning to be charged, to be encouraged, to be infilled with this thought and this hope that my Jesus is alive, and that when I approach him, when I pray, I'm praying to a living Jesus. I'm praying to a God who is alive. I'm praying to a God who is able to do immeasurably above all that I would ever ask or imagine. I'm praying to an all-powerful God that says, there is nothing impossible with me. There is nothing impossible with me through my Holy Spirit, through my will, through my touch on your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were looking for the wrong Jesus. The angel said, I know you're looking for Jesus, but the Jesus you seek, the dead Jesus, the crucified Jesus, the one you came to anoint with his earthly body with oils and mourn over, that Jesus is no longer here. You're looking in the wrong place. And I wonder how many this morning are looking in the wrong places for Jesus. I wonder how many this morning are just looking and not even looking for Jesus, but just walking through this life without looking for a Jesus, or believing that Jesus is some fairy tale or something that happened long ago. I love that because he lives, I can also live. But really, what does that mean? When you hear a pastor say that, or when you hear that word, that abundant life, he's risen. What does abundant life mean? What does that mean for me today? Abundant life, when you look in the scripture, it's talking about eternal life. It's a life that begins at the moment we come to Christ. We begin to follow him and receive him as a Savior. And then we go throughout this life and this journey believing and trusting because of his word that we are in Christ, and those who are in Christ will have eternal life. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? The biblical definition of life, specifically eternal life, is provided really by Jesus himself. In John 17:3, now this eternal life, this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life if you know the one who God has sent. What is abundant life? Abundance is spiritual abundance, not material abundance. The joy of the Lord is my strength, not based on my circumstances, not based on my material possessions, but based on who he is, that he is alive forevermore, and he dwells within my body, within this temple, within this life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This abundant life, 2 Peter 3:18, Christian life revolves around growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Abundant life is a continual process of learning and practicing and nurturing and growing in our faith. Abundant life is based on this idea that Jesus Christ is God. He is human, but he became flesh. But he died. He was crucified. He suffered a crucifixion. He died, but on that third day, he rose from the grave. And that's what we celebrate this morning. We celebrate Easter. Sunday morning, the risen Savior, the risen Jesus. We live in a day, an hour, and a time where, well, there's a theologian, a modern day theologian by the name of R.C. Sproul, and he says this. He says, the greatest challenge that we're going to see in the 21st century church is this right here, is the question of Jesus' deity. How can mortal man, human flesh, how can flesh also be divine? How can a mortal man be divine at the same time? How can man and God coexist? How can holy and fleshly coexist? And that is a challenge. You guys stay with me. That is a challenge that we see in our day and hour. The question is, Jesus really who he says he is? Now, you and I believe, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? But the world's questioning that right now. Matter of fact, it's repeated throughout history because, according to Sproul, even back in the 4th century and the 8th century, even up until the 19th century, the same thing has happened over and over again, and history kind of repeats itself, where the question of Jesus' deity is questioned again. Is Jesus really who he says he is? Is he really this risen Savior that came to pay the penalty for man's sin, the forgiveness of sins? Is he really who he says he is? Matter of fact, in the second century, the early Christianity, there were several groups of religious people, religious sects, if you will, that believed different things about who Jesus was. There was a group called Ebionites, and they believed that Jesus was a great teacher. He was a great prophet. He was a great man. And because he was so true to God, and because he became so close to God that he actually became the Messiah. They didn't believe in that virgin birth of Mary. And there's other belief systems. There's this belief system where deists believe that God is kind of like a watchmaker. He created it. They believe in a creative God, a creative God. He created the world. He created everything around us. But he it's like he set a watch, and it ticks and it works on its own. In other words, deism is where I believe that God is a creator God, but God is not involved in my life today. Isn't that where our world is right now? We might acknowledge who God is, and the shame of that is many of our forefathers had that same mentality. They trusted in God, they believed in God, and they prayed to God, they worshiped God, but they denied the power therein. They denied the power of the Holy Spirit. They denied the power of a supernatural Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. This is a good place you guys can get excited, because we are in a place, we are in a context, we are in a worship atmosphere where we believe the power of the Holy Spirit is right now. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God that is alive. Hallelujah. He is not dead, but he is alive. And I'm thankful that there are theists in the room today. Theists that believe that God is who he says he is, that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Hallelujah. The early church had this controversy over and over again. It was called the Arian controversy. And they met at this council of Nicaea, and it was in 325. And then there was another council of Constantinople in 381 where they decided, and you guys have heard the song, we believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son, Jesus. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. And so we began Constantinople. Constantine began back then to say, we got to come together on this thing, and we're going to believe, and the religious leaders of that time say, we're going to come together, and we're going to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He is a son of God. Yes, he was divine. He was earthly at the same time, and we don't know the mystery of that, but we do know that God says he sent his only son, his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have life and have life eternally through him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He is risen! But we live in a time where that is challenged. We live in a time where we say, is God really who he says he is? Does God really hear my prayers? Does God really care? Am I on God's radar at all? What I find interesting when I read these narratives about this resurrection Sunday morning, the crucifixion, the death, this hour of turmoil and mystery and just things were upside down for the disciples. What I find a marvel at is that many of the situations, you don't see the disciples. The disciples have ran for their life. They're in hiding. Peter is denying Christ. Their world's coming unglued, and they're in fear for their own lives. And you've got this beautiful display of just a few people that you get a glimpse of that are around Jesus during this time. Because there's so much that's going on, and they're afraid for their very lives. They're afraid. And here we see we're living in a day and time. Listen, we're living in a day and time where people either accept who Jesus is or they don't. They believe in the power of God or they don't. They're either running from it. They're either hiding from it. They've heard the word. Listen, once you've heard the word, then you're responsible to do something with that word. Did you hear me this morning? We can candy coat it. We can kind of put it, grace is, thank God for his grace. But we also serve a God who is sovereign, a God who won't make us serve him, but throws that lifeline out and lets us decide whether we're going to receive it or not. So you have received truth. You have received hope. My goodness, our nation, we have an umbrella of hope cast in many places. And it's up to people to receive it or not. But the problem is we have what's called functional deism nowadays. Functional deism would say, I believe in God, I serve God, it's country, apple pie, Chevrolet, baseball, all that. I'm American, you know, so and I'm Republican, so I must be going to heaven, right? That's just how we just, it's a westernized mentality of relationship with God, and it's a deception from the evil one. Do you hear me this morning? The functional deist will say, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. But they deny the power of God. They believe God's not involved in their lives today. Why pray? Because it's not going to make a difference. Yeah, I believe in God. I'll go to church. I'll do all the things I need to do. I'll push that church time clock. But God's not really involved in my life, and I really don't care. And become bitter and become indifferent. It's getting quiet in here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Believing in God but denying the power thereof, and there's a question of whether God is really who He says He is in the Word. And then if you're heading that way, you're heading down a rabbit trail of what becomes the opposite of faith. Mary Magdalene and Mary were looking in the wrong place. They were looking for a Jesus that was dead, but I want you to know that He's alive. And also I want you to see this morning that Mary Magdalene and Mary were invited by the angel to come and see. Look at your neighbor and say, come and see. Matthew 28, verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. Everybody say it with me. He has risen, just as He said, come and see the place where He lay. See, this was a dark time in history. Mark, the Gospel of Mark gives us a little bit picture here of this dark time in history in chapter 15, verse 43. It talks about this man of Joseph of Arimathea. Dark time in history. Christ had died. Disciples have not connected all the dots yet. The cross is taking place, but not yet the resurrection. There was a silent Saturday. It's a unique time, a dark place, a quiet, solemn moment in time. And Joseph of Arimathea, this man, this obscure story comes out of the blue here in the Gospels show us, a story that is shared by all four Gospels. He provides us with an incredible example of following Christ. Listen to me closely here. Especially in times of uncertainty. Especially when no one else around you has faith to believe that there is a God. Especially when you're the only one in your family who is holding on to Jesus. You're the only one that takes the Word of God and believes the Word of God and believes that God who He is, who He says He is. It's that place where it's you and God. And the rubber meets the road, and it's a matter of, am I going to have faith or not? Am I going to go with the crowd or not? And am I going to stand on my own or not and stand with my God or not? Have you ever been there before? Your faith's been challenged. Things are going on in your life and you wonder, and people are watching to see how you're going to respond. And here's Joseph of Arimathea. I love this. I love this. He provides this incredible example of following Christ. He goes into the tomb, going to the tomb that he has purchased, preparing it for Jesus, the body of Jesus, next to him, lifeless. Now watch this. Along with Jesus, and just doesn't understand. Joseph of Arimathea, he says, I love, he gets this, it's not in Scripture, but I believe he's saying it like this. He's saying, it doesn't matter that I don't understand this Jesus and why he's dead and what's going on here, but he said, I still think that he deserves the dignity and loyalty that needs to come to him. And I don't care if anybody else leaves Jesus, I'm not going to leave Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not going to leave him, Rich. I'm not going to leave Jesus. I don't care how many people turn their back on my God. I'm going to stay beside him because he deserves my worship. He deserves my loyalty. He deserves my all in all to give to him. Mark 15, Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate and he asks for the body. Everybody say the body. Now when he asks for the body of Jesus, he's asking for what this... The terminology for the body there is soma. Everybody say soma. S-O-M-A. It's the soma of the body of Jesus. He's asking for the completeness of Jesus. Not just the corpse, not just the dead, but he's asking for the whole Jesus. He's asking for the dead and the resurrected Jesus. He's asking for the body, the soma, if you will. I love how the Scripture tells us that the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It's able to cut and divide bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It's able to penetrate. And I pray today as we're preaching the Word of God that He's ministering to your heart. He's getting into the nooks and crannies of your soul. He's getting into those places. And when you talk about the soma of God, whether He's divine or human, He is both. It's like bone and marrow. Bone and marrow is together. It becomes one substance. There's another terminology here, it's homoousis. And homoousis is of one substance. Everybody say one substance. One substance. So God is divine and God is human. He is one substance. You got to get this, man. This looks out your heart. When Joseph came and asked for the body, he asked for the soma of Jesus. He asked for the completeness of God. He was in need. Not only did he need the body, and he was wanting to treat the body respectively, but he was in need of God. And he says, he goes to Pilate and says, give me this. I've got to have the body of Jesus. I've got to have the soma. I'm going to give him my tomb. I'm going to respect the body, but I need God. I need God. Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody getting this morning? I think about this, the completeness of this, the complete person to present your body as a complete sacrifice. The soma recognizes the personhood of someone that not just physical body, but the person of who they are. Pilate granted the corpse, and the corpse that he granted was the toma, which means the corpse, the body, if you will, of Jesus. And he gives the corpse, and Joseph requests the soma, not just the body, but the completeness of Jesus. And I wonder when you decide to come to Christ, you decide to come to Jesus, what are you giving yourself to? What are you believing for? What are you asking God of? Are you just asking him for part of who Jesus is? Are you just doing it to satisfy somebody else's desire? Are you doing it? Or are you doing it because you need the completeness of God in your life? Oh, you need the soma of God. I need all of you, Lord Jesus. I need the God part of you. I need the divine, Lord Jesus. Even in your humanity, God, I need to understand my humanity, God, and I need the completeness of who you are in my life. I need your soma, not just the toma. I need the soma in my life. And uncertainty and times change the perception of who Jesus is and was for the disciples. Joseph saw the soma. He deserves his loyalty. He deserves not an agenda or an asset, but a person. And my hope is that we remember why we are here this morning. Not to talk about, not just to worship or serve an object or a persona. Listen to me. But when you come to worship, when you come to give your life to Jesus, you give that worship in your life to a complete Jesus. A whole Jesus. An embodiment of God who wants to transfer back into your life. To know him through the Holy Spirit. To recognize the full entity of the Godhead, to become the embodiment of Jesus. It's not just a topic to discuss. It's not just a theology to argue over, but an experience of the person of Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit to anoint and to baptize his people. God desires to do that. He desires to pull his Spirit out on us. Oh, hallelujah. My hope is we remember the completeness of who he is, not just a topic, but to have our spirit eyes open to the completeness, the whole person of Jesus. Some of you remember the Chronicles of Narnia and Prince Caspian. They go into Narnia a second time, and there's the little girl sees Aslan, and they don't believe her. And the older brother Peter asks her, "Why were you the only one that could see Aslan?" And she said, "It's because I was looking for him. I was looking for him." There's people sitting beside you in this room today. Maybe you're looking for Jesus. Maybe you're not looking for Jesus, but there's people sitting beside you who have a relationship with God, and they're no different than you other than they are looking for Jesus. They're looking for hope. They're pressing and looking. They're yearning. They're opening their Bibles. They're spending time in prayer. They're giving. They're serving. They're in church. We are all looking for Jesus. And he says, if you search me, you will find me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you're looking for him, you will find him. Oh, thank you, Lord. My prayer is that your eyes would be open to the whole person of Jesus, to come and see the soma of Jesus. The angel said to the ladies, to Mary, and Mary said, come and see. Come and see. Come experience who he is. I love Romans 3:23. It says, the word there is that Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if any man would open the door of his heart, let me come in. I will have fellowship with you, and you will get to know me. I'll get to know you, and we'll be one. We'll be soma together. We'll be one flesh together. We'll be that bone and marrow together. Listen, when Jesus comes into your heart, he stamps his name on your heart. You become one. Your heart is tattooed with Jesus. Hallelujah. You become one. Come and see, the angel said. Mary Magdalene and Mary were instructed to go and tell, thirdly, if you look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 7. I love this. Then go quickly, the angel said, and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Go quickly and tell. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got good news for you today. Jesus is not here. He is alive. He is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people that I know, and you guys see it everywhere you go. They're empty. They're hopeless, without hope. They're looking, they're searching, and some of them are looking in all the wrong places because we've done that too, amen? But there is one who is that hope. There is one who is that life. There is one who is that completeness of God, and his name is Jesus. God deserves to use this church in these final hours to bring healing to his creation. He has given his church, you and I, a mandate to preach the gospel and to make disciples. He said that he will be with us. The living, all-powerful God is with us. I'm going to say that one more time for Pentecostal church. The living, all-powerful God is with us. Hallelujah! And as pastor, as your pastor, and as your friend, I believe that God is bringing us into a season where he wants to use Rock Hill First to be the agent that he can flow through in this community, along with other great ministries around here. But I believe that God has a distinct purpose for our being together in this season. I believe he wants to pour his spirit out in us and through us to reach many people around us. Amen? Amen. Locally and globally, that God wants to use us. So the message the angel said, the angel said, God, the messenger brought the message to Mary Magdalene and Mary that Easter morning. This message is about the Lord and what he wants us to hear today. That message was that he's alive. Everybody say it with me. He's alive. He's alive. He's living. He's active. He's involved. It is the fact that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Redeemer. Jesus is my Sanctifier. Jesus is my Healer. Jesus is my soon-coming King. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is my Alpha. He is my Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first and the last. He is all-powerful. He is all-amazing. He is all-encompassing of who he wants us to be. This church, he wants to use us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the message that he wants us to live this morning. And that's the message that I believe is a tension and the rub for where we are in our society, for where many are in life. Because you have the rub of life. You have the rub of circumstances. You have the cares of this life that overwhelm you. You have those things that tend to want to push you away from the Lord. And I want you to know that there's also an enemy of your soul. And he wants to lie, kill, and destroy what God has meant for good in your life. And we as a body, we pray for those who are this morning or watching online or with us in this house. And you've come into this place and you're saying, maybe it's the last straw. I'm holding out hope one more time and I'm going to believe in a God who does love me. I want you to find a resurrected God today. I want you to find a Jesus that loves you, who gave himself for you, and he is not dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. Stand with me if you will. Everyone across this room and watching online as well, I want to challenge you with these closing words. What does your heart long for this morning? What does your heart long for? What are you looking for in this juncture of your life? Are you at a crossroads in your life? Are you at a place of life where you trusted God at one point, but you're at a place where maybe there's a challenge to trust him again? You've had some disappointments. You've had things that rock your world, and you're wondering where God's at. You've had people that have mistreated you, maybe abused you, and you're having a hard time forgiving someone. You've got to let go and let God. You've got to let go of that. Like a duck with water on his back, just let that run off and let God do what he wants to do in your heart and give it to Jesus. Maybe you're struggling with something, a sin habit, or something you know that's not pleasing to God, and you're wrestling with that. You do love God, you read your Bible, you pray, but there's a habit, there's something that God's not pleased with, and you're saying, God, I need help this morning. I want you to know that can be old and gone in your life because of a new God that wants to do a new thing in you, a risen Savior. Why don't you do what we see in the example of this narrative, is that don't look for the Jesus that you knew before, that dead Jesus, that old life, but look for the new Jesus that's risen indeed this morning. Look for the one that when you come to the grave and you're expecting a dead God, you found a risen God. God invites us to come and see this Easter Sunday morning. And most of us would agree that our world needs more of God, don't we? We need more of God. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, do I need more of God in my life this morning? Does my faith, here it is for the Christians in the house, does your faith need to be resurrected? Have you ever had your faith resurrected before? Every one of us. You guys are not alone. You see, Pastor Steve, I need my faith resurrected this morning. We have been there. I have been there many times. And I want you to know I found my God to be faithful. But I also want you to know, it just doesn't happen because it's, you know, just like that. It takes effort on your part to say, Lord, I'm going to dig in to find you. I'm going to get a hold of you no matter what. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. Matter of fact, I'm going to run hard the other way. I'm going to run to you, Jesus. So many times people in this world, when they go through a difficult thing, and I hate it as a pastor when I see it, when people, they're zealous for God and something happens that wrecks their life and they run away from God instead of running to God. I want you to run to God this morning. I want you to run to the cross. But when you get to the tomb, I don't want you to find a dead Jesus. I want you to find a Jesus that is alive. And he has life for you. I've asked Melanie to come and bless us with a song this morning as she's preparing her heart. I'm going to ask if you'd do something. Just place your hand over your heart this morning. So, dear Jesus, I just want you to do what you want to do in my life today. Before we leave this moment, God, I ask that you'll do a work in my heart and my life. And listen, I want to challenge you this morning. If you're at a place, a crossroads or a junction in your life where you say, I need God. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I need God. I want you to let the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart this morning. Amen. Amen. Be seated just for a moment as Melanie comes and brings a song this morning. Let's think about our resurrected Savior today. Hallelujah.